You are listening to Diversity, Inclusion, and Equality, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Diversity without inclusion is inequality. Today we have with us Mr. Robert Carnegie Jr., candidate for Brooklyn Borough President. Now, what about the parents who live in your communities who just don't trust, who are tired of waiting around, and who want the ability to look outside? What are your thoughts on open enrollment?
I think first of all, I should have stated that I'm a father of six. I've had a child in every aspect of the Department of Education school system. I've had a child who got his GED. I've had a child who is gifted and talented. And I've had a child who has an IEP. And I've had three children come through the charter system. So there's no facet of the DOE system that I'm not familiar with, for good or for bad. So I think, again, that makes me uniquely qualified as a parent who's had to access and advocate for each one of my children in different facets to get what their needs were met. I'm equipped to do that.
How safe would you feel as a parent sending your children to public school right now?
Not at all. Not at all. In large measure, a lot of my children are older, but we've decided in some instances, depending on the child's aptitude and acumen, which I get the luxury of doing, for our students not to enter back into building and to concentrate. But I have the means to do that, meaning I have access to technology. I can provide my children with the best access to equipment. And I know that there are families that don't have the luxury of doing that, but I don't particularly feel comfortable. And not just the safety of the pandemic, but the inconsistency with the openings and closing are a disaster for children. When they feel hopeless and they feel that there's no consistency, they lose interest. And I think a lot of our students who are already challenged, whether it's the environment that they're growing up in, whether it's the support system that's are in place, they're already at a place and at a crossroads, and not to give them consistency. Listen, the school building for me and for a lot of children like me who are public school students was a sanctuary. And the inability to access that sanctuary, it was a place where my learning was challenged. It was a place where there was athleticism and also arts and culture, which challenged all sides of my brain. That's no longer accessible. However, measuring that against these public safety issues and mandates suggests to me that I'm not comfortable for a myriad of reasons, not just the health and safety, but also the psychology of young folks to send my students back. I have that luxury. I understand that there's a lot of parents who don't have the luxury to be able to educate their children from the comfort of their kitchen table or their living room or any other place. And for them, I continue to fight to bring some consistency to this hybrid learning and something that they can count on so that they can go out and earn a living and not feel like their children are at risk.
Well, yes, that's something we can agree upon. A lot of parents do not have the same luxuries that you mentioned. Now, we spoke about getting everyone access to the technology, but also you were about to touch on the risk. You know, what measures can you put in place to assure parents that their children will be safe? What equipment? What masks? Tell me some more about the health and safety of the schools once they reopen.
Just demanding from our healthcare professionals a consistent guidance and not having this flip-flop back and forth as much as it has in the past. And saying that we are going to hold those healthcare professionals accountable. We're going to hold the city of New York and the administration accountable for making sure that the equipment that's necessary, including access to Wi-Fi, is available to every single student. And that's not an easy undertaking, because I said as of last week, a principal in my very district here in Bedford-Stuyvesant and Crown Heights had 55 parents or families without the equipment that they were promised, and it's already December. So you can't get that learning back. I'm outraged by the fact that our students have suffered tremendously because of access. And when I've talked to the administration, including the DOE, including Chancellor Carranza, he has assured me that everybody's gotten their equipment. So there are gaps somewhere in their information system where clearly communities like mine, East New York, Brownsville, South Jamaica, South Bronx, where parents have not been given access to the very bare necessities to have their children. So I'm going to continue advocating. I'm still, whether I'm borough president or not, the biggest black man in government. So I'm going to continue to use whatever platform I find myself at and leverage whatever relationships I have to benefit those families who find themselves still underserved in an inequitable and segregated school system.
You mentioned a lot of challenges there for this role, Mr. Carnegie. Considering the disparities, considering the challenges, what makes you passionate about claiming this role of Brooklyn Borough President?
Because I'm a black man and a father of six. I have four boys who are disproportionately impacted by violence in their communities and gangs. I have four boys who sometimes I'm concerned that their interaction with the very law enforcement that is tasked at serving us could result in negative consequences. I'm so passionate about my personal children and the children that under my care, the 175,000 families that I've been tasked through an election with caring for and making sure that their voices are raised, gives me the energy that I need to get up every morning and to do the bidding for those voices that are sometimes maligned. There is a whole entire borough of underserved communities that need that voice, and I have sat ready and prepared to expand what I've been able to do for my constituency here and through my work at the City Council.
Thank you, Mr. Carnegie, for joining us today. It has been a pleasure speaking to you about diversity, inclusion, and equality issues. We hope to have you join us once again. Thank you to our listening audience. This has been Diversity, Inclusion, and Equality.